If you want to support the show, any of the shows, either this or whichever show, I'm not on right now because this is just a blanket ad for all of them, and the website, you can go to bewareofspoilers, .com. In the description for any of the episodes of Beware of Spoilers, there is the option to donate. If you don't want to donate that way, you can donate directly through the website. We do have that, mwpnews.com. And if you don't want to support that way, then going to mwpnews.com will help out because we have ads there. We don't want to keep it, where there's a lot of ads. There's a few ads. But the point is, we want to make it so that way, we can sustain this for the long term. If people donate, we're never going to paywall anything, I don't think, as of right now. But if people, if people start donating, we'll start doing cooler and cooler stuff. Like donations are how we get to cover stuff like Tribeca and other, film festivals. And, we may be able to bring on more people to help out. So if you want to help out the show and you want more content from us, by all means, even just going and giving us a 5-star rating on Spotify helps out a lot. But that's it. That's the only ad we'll have on the podcast ever. But here's whatever podcast you're going to be listening to. Good evening, and welcome to Beware of Spoilers. I am Adam. I've just seen If, which is a movie that I think I picked for the movie draft, and boy, did I misfire. I'm 0 for 2 on picking what the Metacritic score was going to be, I think. I think I'm 0 for 2. Regardless, I mean, I think that, beyond my own prediction for what the Metacritic score would be, I think that the movie is not deserving. And I think that it is indicative kind of where we are as a society, that this movie's not being well received, because this movie has a sense of optimism to it that we don't see much of anymore. It's got a very, there's that thing that went around a few weeks ago. What's a movie or a piece of media that's indicative of the before times, before the modern era, of where we are right now? And one of the things that I saw posited was Parks and Recreation, which was a perfectly Obama-era look at government with the optimism of, this is what government can do for you. And, it's one of those things, if it came out today, or like Hamilton, where it's like, it is it's got an optimism to it. It's one of those things where it's like, you watch this and you're just like, I don't understand why people hated this so much. I mean, look, it's the kind of thing, again, I think too, film criticism is in a weird place, where we hold kids' movies to higher regard than we do, big budget PG-13 action movies. Where, it's this idea that, we have to make sure that this movie is, And I watch it, and I'm like, how is this not being well received? It's just so well made, and it's, the effects are great. And I know that, if I was a kid and this came out, if I was a kid now, this movie would be my shit. And I've said that a lot lately, but this is a movie that I would have loved. And it's just this thing where we're just going to, yes, the movie is uneven. There are points, I can understand some of the criticism. I think that there are some narrative shortcomings this movie has, that if you really stop to think about it, and all of that, you may run into some issues. I get it. The whole thing where it's the basic conceit of the movie is you have this girl whose father's going in, her mother died of cancer, her father is going in for, what's it called? For a heart thing. They're not specific about what the surgery is that he's having done, but it's just surgery on this. He's having heart surgery. So, as this is happening, she uncovers this hidden world of imaginary friends that you know, are all kind of trying to find new homes. And it's very, you know, if you watch Boston from Imaginary Friends, you get the general conceit of this movie. It's these imaginary friends, they want to find forever homes. They don't want to just be kind of rogue imaginary friends who are just kind of, you know, chilling out in a retirement home. They want to, their purpose is to help children. They want to help children move through life. And it's this idea that, like, as you're watching this, it's this thing where, like, she's meeting more imaginary friends, she's trying to help them out, she is using all of this to try and, like, oh, let's try and place them with new kids. Okay, well, that's not working, so let's try, you know, let's try something else. Let's try the, let's try just reuniting them with their original kid. And all of these things work in the movie. The connective tissue between them can get a little bit weird. I think there are some moments where the movie's not paced great. Like, there are some things where I'm like, alright, we don't need as much of this. We can cut down here. There's room to cut. I don't think it's as bad as Back to Black Yesterday in terms of things needing to be cut. There's definitely room to, where things should be left on the cutting room floor, though. And it's just, it's one of the things where it's like, as you get through these moments of this girl trying to work through her own shit and deal with her own issues, which in this case is she is gravely concerned for the fact that she could lose a second parent. And as she's moving through this, she's helping out other people, and she's, you know, reuniting, you know, people. And it's like, there's a moment that, like, I didn't cry. People who listen know I'm an easy movie crier. Almost got me. The moment where, like, the main kind of big if that's kind of through the entire movie, this guy Blue, who's bright purple because his kid's colorblind when he made him, he ends up, you know, his kid ends up, you know, they end up meeting his kid when he's all grown up. And the reunion, as this guy is getting ready to go in, and there's just that moment where he puts his hand on the guy's shoulder, and you can, there's the sense of recognition, and the movie telegraphs it too, because again, it's a family movie, so I gotta visually telegraph this, as, like, the word I came up as I'm watching is, like, the imaginary friend and the kid and the inner child resynchronizing. And I think that, like, the way they visually do that is just so well done. And they do it well. And then you get to the credits, and they show them trying to put the imaginary friends back, and all the imaginary friends are people that we have met before in the movie in various, you know, small roles, and you know, and it is a great little tie-off to everything else at the end. Tying up loose end, not a tie-off. But yeah, this, like, I think the performances are great. I, like, Ryan Reynolds is great as usual. He's, you know, he's charming, even though he's kind of playing the straight man here, and I think he does that very well. When his final role and everything is revealed, it pays off so well, because something happens earlier in the movie that kind of telegraphs exactly what it is, and it's great. There's a lot to love about this movie. It's a very easy movie to love. I think that this is one of those things that, like, yeah, I get it. It is unabashedly optimistic, and that was something that I figured out as soon as the movie starts. And we have this scene with the main girl, whose name I'm forgetting, in the hospital room with her dad, who's played by John Krasinski. And there's this moment where she's taking this with the grave seriousness that is, she thinks he's going to die the way her mother died. And he's like, look, we, you know, yes, there are moments we need to be serious, but that's not all the time. We don't always have to be serious. And I think that, like, that does such a great job of telegraphing what the moral of the story will be throughout the entire thing. This is a great movie. Again, not perfect. There is a few times they could have cut stuff, and I would have been like, all right, that's fine. There's a great reference to a joke from Deadpool 2
at the very end, which I appreciated, because I was thinking back as I was walking to the bathroom and then to my car. I'm like, did this, like, because it's in the what's it called, in the trailer and in the Mint Mobile ad that I saw on what's it called today on YouTube today, where it's like, you know, there's this imaginary friend Keith who's just invisible, and Ryan Reynolds keeps tripping over him. Like, it's a recurring bit throughout the movie where he trips over Keith, and it's funny and all that, and it's a great payoff to it at the very end. But the arguably the better payoff to it is getting to the very end of the, like, and there's another great payoff where it's like this invisible imaginary friend, and they're at one point they're trying to introduce him to this kid who's in the hospital. So trying to find an imaginary friend for him, so they're doing a montage of all the imaginary friends walking by the door, and they do Keith, and it's like, oh, and can you see him? And he's like, no. He's like, why did he even try that? Like, that would have been very confusing. He can't see it. Moving along. But when they go through the credits, it's like, here's the human cast, and then it's like, here are the voices of the ifs, and then at the very end it says, and introducing Brad Pitt as Keith. And I'm just like, that is a great callback to a joke from Deadpool 2. I appreciate that. But yeah, this is I would say if you're looking for a good family movie to watch this weekend, like, you know, take the kids, you know, go there, I would say this is a solid choice for a family movie to go see. I also think that, like, that's kind of part of the issue that I have. Like, my biggest issue is kind of the same with, like, what the emotional core of Inside Out was, where it's like, when you watch, like, let's just do Inside Out real quick. So Inside Out's emotional, like, the core emotional moment in Inside Out that will get people, you know, will get the adults going, is the scene where, you know, Joy is down at the bottom of that pit with all the forgotten memories, and she's crying, and she's like, all I wanted was for Riley to be happy. And then, you know, and then that's where Bing Bong comes, and Bing Bong sacrifices himself, and Bing Bong kind of, you know, goes away. And it's kind of similar here, where that moment where Joy is articulating that out loud very clearly is for the parents. It's not meant for the kid. I mean, the kid should be sad that Joy is dying, but the dialogue and all that is clearly meant for the parents. This is kind of the same thing. The emotional core of this movie being the reunion of the imaginary friends and the reconnection with the inner child. Like, that's the emotional core that I'm not sure will resonate with a kid, but the movie's also PG because it's meant to be a family movie. It's a very weird conundrum they put themselves in. And look, I think it works for the most part. It's just kind of like, I don't know if it's gonna work for children watching. I know that, like, based on the visuals of this movie and how good this movie looks, I would have been all over this shit, like, when I was a kid. Because kids, you know, will glom. Like, I was huge into, like, the Santa Claus back, you know, when 'cause I was either just born or, you know, or not born yet when that movie first came out, but I had it on VHS, and we played the fuck out of that VHS, let me tell you. And yeah, that's a great movie. This is also, I think, one of those movies that is going to end up being, you know, I mean, it's one of those weird situations because we don't have the home media the way we used to. But this is a movie where if we had VHSs or DVDs still as prevalent as we did back in the day, this would be a one of those cult classic movies, I think, if it doesn't get the respect it deserves during its theatrical run. But I would recommend checking out If. This is a 5 out of 5 for me. I'm gonna have to think long and hard when I do my top five, because I think this has a very solid chance of being in that top five. Yeah, and I think this works pretty well. But we'll wrap up there for today. Tomorrow we'll be wrapping up X-Men 97 on Disney Plus. We'll be wrapping that up over here. tomorrow morning. We'll be doing, what's the other big one we have? I think that this weekend is Idea Man, which is the Jim Henson documentary. But we will see about that. Until our next episode, have a great rest of your week.